And she got disfellowshipped because he just didn't think that she was serving him.
He had an affair on her.
He had an affair on her, and she got disfellowshipped. She got kicked out because she wasn't good enough as a wife and wasn't serving him and having sex with him enough, essentially.
Hello, and welcome to Pissy But Pretty, a show about hindsight, hope, tangents, and cuss words. We are your hosts, Party Tricks Turned Semi-Responsible Women. I am your host, Heather Cairns.
And Emily Baggin.
Hello.
Hello, here we are.
Pissy But Pretty episode 4. We've made it.
Yay!
Are we ready for this?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I don't think so.
We did discuss we missed a whole lot from the last couple episodes that we did. We were going to talk about addiction on this one, but we realized we missed a big part of particularly your upbringing and a big part of your religious experience that you had. So we have
to go back to being disfellowshipped
and all of that. We need all to get into stuff. That. You ready for that?
I think I'm ready. I'm already sweaty.
You're always sweaty.
I'm always sweaty. Yeah.
You're a hot box.
I'm a hot box. So ended at religion, married. Jehovah's Witnesses get married very young. You're not supposed to have sex before you're married. So we all do, though. Let's be real. And then whatever. Do your thing. Get married. I was engaged, I think, within 6 months of meeting him. I was living on my own.
How old were you again?
19. I couldn't get married until I was 20. That was the rule. My sister and I couldn't get married until we were 20.
I don't know why anyone would want to, but
I mean, people, you know, kids were getting married at like 17 in that religion, at least back when I was in it. Yeah. And it was a little disturbing. You were children. So this was probably, I was around, I would say like 18, 19. I moved out, you know, pretty early with a couple of girls that were a little bit older than I was. We were partying like rock stars, drinking like crazy. I met, you know, my ex-husband basically at Summerfest. I had seen him before at like church events and things like that. Beautiful, wonderful. Not going to say his name.
We were babies.
Yeah. And he was a drinker, and his family were drinkers and all his friends, and that's all we did. That's what.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that frowned upon?
Drinking in moderation.
Oh.
So as you, a drinker, and me, a drinker, moderation.
There's no such thing.
We don't even know the meaning. Correct. If I'm alive the next day, I guess that was pretty moderate. That was fun.
I mean,
sure. Yeah.
Even if I woke up with scars on my face. Moderate.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Semen on your mouth and scars on your face. Gross.
Crusty.
That's gross.
Yeah.
At that point, I was working at a cancer clinic. My dad was diagnosed with cancer the first time. So I quit my job, moved back in with my family. My then husband lived in Oconomowoc. So I was between like Jackson, Glendale, like that area. We got married. I moved to Oconomowoc. I got a job where I met Rebecca, who was my first like non-witness adult friend.
Which is how we met through sweet Rebecca.
Everything went to shit. I was so excited. I was so happy. I had a huge wedding. I think about all said and done, 800 people showed up. We were annihilated.
I don't even know 800 people.
I didn't either. Oh. But it was, you know, his mom and my mom and all of the congregations. And it's a big deal. It's like the only thing that they celebrate.
Sure.
Weddings and funerals, apparently. So it was a mess. It was awful. The marriage was awful. We tried. He needed a mom. And I didn't know how to do that. I thought I was getting a partner. I thought I was getting a husband. I thought I was getting something that my dad was, taking care of things.
So in the witness religion, explain it to me. Like, are you, is there a set role for the women and the men?
Yes. Back, and granted, this is 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm sure things have progressed, hopefully. Women were in subjection, which means you sort of doted on your husband. Food, dinner, financial, sex, if he wanted it, you gave it. And it was your wifely duty. It was your role. You went door to door as much as possible. You logged those hours within the church and you made sure your husband
was happy.
You had
to log the hours in the church your going door to door.
Yeah. It's called going out in service.
I would love to know. I know it worked for your mom. I would love to know how successful that is these days. People don't answer their door for nobody. Everybody got Ring cameras.
Honestly, in, you know, the time that I was there from what, 10 to like 23, it never stuck. People came and they would meet, you know, people and whatever,
really?
But I never saw one person get baptized, become a witness, whatever. It's not to say that it's not happening.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is my experience. This is my story.
Yeah.
I think it was weird. I think it was too friendly, too fake, too funky. And people just kind of walked away after a while. Like, and then they stopped answering their doors because they are persistent.
Gosh.
So
you were a Stepford wife.
Did the
door to door cooking, cleaning, taking care of your husband.
While drinking, while trying to be a party girl, because that was all I understood. And again, like, I felt abandoned. I was so lonely. I didn't understand who he was. He didn't understand who I was. We didn't know how to be adults. So I felt let down.
20 years old.
You don't. You really fucking don't. Mm-mm. So, again, like, you know, my dad is going through chemo, my sister's, you know, married. I'm thinking that everybody knows about this sexual assault that happened. And I felt just betrayed sort of by all of that, still sort of processing it with just alcohol and partying. And, then his cousin moved in with us. He was 19, 18 at the time. We were 4 years apart. And he stepped into like this husband role with me. My husband was downstairs playing video games, literally 24/7. Never graduated high school, which is not abnormal for witnesses. They go into the trades. You're supposed to be serving God. You're supposed to be going door to door. So he was in the trades with a family member. If it rained, he didn't work. He was playing video games until 6 a.m. He would still be down there when I would wake up for work. But his cousin came to live with us, and he became my best friend. We would go grocery shopping. We did laundry. We folded the laundry. We cleaned. We hung out. He was introducing me to some of his friends. He was kind of in trouble with the congregation. Smoking weed was his jam.
Okay.
So we started an affair. I fell so deeply, so hard in love with who he was, and it was eating me alive inside. It was eating him alive inside.
It had to have felt nice if you're being ignored by who you're married to.
So
I mean, I'm not excusing anything.
There. There's no excuse for an affair.
Right.
Like I said, there is no excuse, but try it.
Yeah.
Live a life where you feel your only option to get out of the situation you're in is you die or you commit adultery and you get out of that marriage. That's where I was. So
seems so sad.
I was sad.
Mm-hmm.
It was sad. It was very sad. I, you know, we started the affair. I lost my shit. I started self-harming. I scratch myself. My husband found out and took me to the emergency room. I went to the psych ward about 7 days. We did partial hospitalization for about a month after that, which is like an 8-hour stint of therapies. My mom came, you know, wondering, like, what's wrong with you? What's happening?
So you quit. You are really good at glazing over it. What brought you into, like, how did that happen? Like, I mean, you don't have an affair and end up in a mental institution.
You don't?
You know?
But I did.
I mean, anybody that would have an affair with me would end up in a mental institution.
Not me.
I'm surprised
like
my
you.
Husband isn't there.
Scissor.
Yes. But like, so, I mean, to
the
me,
the guilt. You are not supposed to do things like this. Sex is like not really talked about, except that it's bad. Bad, 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 bad. You are not even supposed to like be going on dates alone together. You have to have a chaperone. And then you get married and you're supposed to be like, all right, here we go. Here's my body. Here yeah. we are. I'm welcoming you inside of me. And it's just, especially for girls, I think it's just bonkers. There is no education. There is no like getting ready for that.
That's not just witnesses.
No.
As Lutherans too, no education. My parents rented us a cartoon movie from the church library.
Did they have full
to
bush?
To go over with my sisters. It was all different body types.
With full and, bush
yeah,
from the 70s.
Yeah, sure.
Everybody loves a full
and
bush.
And yeah, that's, you know, it was just bad, 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 bad.
Until you're married.
Until all of a sudden it's not. And then you're just supposed to know what to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then he has no experience. I had no experience. I didn't know what to do with my body because you're not supposed to know what to do with your body. Mm-hmm. So it was painful. It was awful. It was bladder infections and we didn't know why. And he was dirty and gross. He worked construction and he just didn't care. He was 20. He was stinky. He was disgusting. So it was horrible. The first sort of experiences with that were pretty bad and I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
He was awful.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was gonna say. No, it's just an awful experience.
Which
just
you guys were young,
We were young. But then much younger cousin comes in and has this tenderness and this sense of humor. And the little touches were like so exciting. And it was like, that was something I had never felt before. I started having sex with my ex-husband 2 weeks after we met. He was not a virgin. I felt like I should do that. Everybody I knew was doing that. P.S. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Where are those chaperones?
But you're not.
How's that working?
To. Yeah. yeah.
Because, and it's not talked about. There's no communication. There's no education. There's no nothing. So, yeah.
So then the guilt, and you were scratching yourself.
Mm-hmm. Because hurting yourself, it's like cutting, like hurting yourself just feels better than everything else that's going on inside. I was imploding. I was a mess. I couldn't talk to anybody. I was absolutely gaga over this kid. And likewise, and I felt like I was killing him. I was hurting him. So yeah, it was probably all said and done about a 3 or 4 psychiatric event, 3 or 4 month thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having the decision at the end of it, do I call him cousin? What do I do? And I did, because it went right back. My marriage went right back to where it was. He had his family come over and clean our house. I remember we were just filthy. We didn't know how to take care of anything.
Yeah, right.
So his family came over and cleaned the house, and they were all making fun of the size of my clothes and how little I was. And you're so little. And I'm like, yeah. How embarrassing. How embarrassing. I'm not taking care of your kid. His mom was very rude to me about that. You're not taking care of my son. Anyway, so I called him. I resumed it.
Yeah.
I resumed it. He meant everything to me. It was us against the world, our little bubble. And then I admitted it. I told my ex-husband. That was probably about 8 months.
Into the affair.
Into the affair.
And he had no clue. That's how, if you're living with two people that are having an affair under your roof.
Oh, yeah. He lived with us.
And you are that, I don't know if it's narcissism or disconnected.
Right.
That says something right there.
Anybody who's been on the other side, like somebody's had, you know, cheated on them. They're always like, oh, you know, well, you can do it. If you want to have an affair, you're going to have an affair. Cheater, always a cheater. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you missing? What are you missing, though?
Yeah.
I'm sure there was some hindsight moments. There had to have been.
Some red
flags. Was there love there? Was there affection, attention, kindness? None.
Yeah.
None. And that's why I got away with it. It wasn't like I was hiding all that well. So, admitted it. He, you know, called my dad and told him to come get his whore daughter. He called his parents. He called elders from the congregation. He called his brothers and sisters. He was the youngest of 5. So he...
Because it was their business.
They brought their spouses and their children.
Their children.
Their children to my house.
That's disgusting.
He destroyed our home, just smashing things, punching, and just glass everywhere. It was a disaster. I was a circus freak again. I was just this circus animal. Everybody was just staring at me, and he's just like this gorilla, like pacing back. He was 6'3", mind you, about 250. He was a big dude.
Never touched you, though, right?
No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Terrifying moment. And then my sister walks in, and she's like, get in the bedroom. We have to talk about this. What are you doing staring at everybody? I walked across the glass and into the bedroom. I'm like, I fucked up. I fucked up bad. She's like, you're going home. So I don't even know. I think I just grabbed my dog. And that was it. That was it. We, you know, continued the affair. He was everything to me. I think that trauma bond,
because
he, you know, my ex-husband called his parents, his aunt and uncle.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I'm sure the whole family turned against him as well.
Oh, for sure.
You both, it really was you two against the world. Yeah.
It was us against the world.
Yeah.
My dad's going through cancer this whole time. My sister still doesn't know about the assault or whatever you want to call it.
Even though you think she does.
Even though I think she does. So I think, you know, this is wonderful. I go home and I just sit on the couch of my family home and cry. And I'm just like, God, I can't go back there. And I knew then I wasn't going to go back there.
Yeah.
So I decided in the you know, witness congregation, religion, whatever, you've got to like fess up to what you did. So I meet up with a panel of elders, which is three men I don't know, in the congregation, and in gross detail have to describe my affair with this man, where he put it, if he ejaculated, if I put it in my butt, all of it. How did you see each other? Where was it? What happened? Did he touch you? Here.
And it was just you and
these
three men.
It was just me and three elders.
Let me get this straight.
Okay.
You need a woman nowadays to be in the room with you if you see a male OB.
Yep.
And here you are.
Yes.
A young woman having to describe sexual positions.
Oh, yes.
And to three grown men.
Yes.
That are probably getting off to it later.
Ew. Probably. Probably. But at the time it was normal. I respected the religion so much. Like, I knew this is what I was supposed to do.
I really hope it's not this way anymore, because that is disturbing and disgusting. And I want to save everyone now.
Right. Well, I mean, you saved me.
I'm going to Leah Remini this.
No.
I'm saying.
I think you should. Where is Miscavige? Where's his wife?
Where is she?
His wife?
Anywho, that's a whole nother story.
So yeah, I'm describing it in detail. My parents are fully under the belief that I'm not going to be disfellowshipped. You had an affair, but explain your marriage. Talk about how he failed you as a wife. And as a partner and as a husband and everything, they can't possibly disfellowship you. They disfellowship me.
Didn't you say, though, that he was like, him and his family were like well-known?
Yep. Big family. Big family within the congregation, as
you did,
was his cousin's family and whatever. And I was
one
the outsider.
Of them dirty, and so
yeah,
there
I was
you
the
go.
Outsider. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I did not serve my husband properly. So I got disfellowship.
Cousin Pernagon. Sorry.
His stick was so much bigger.
Sorry.
You're falling apart.
I am.
The D word and things go sideways.
OMG.
So I got home and I told my mom, I was like, well, I was disfellowshipped. And I remember she was standing on the stairs of our house and she's like, I never thought that would happen. And that was it. She shut off all communication, love, kindness, our relationship was over. You were not
because
supposed to
three
associate.
Men
yep, decided. I wasn't sorry. I wasn't repentant. That's what it was based on. If you were repentant enough, you wouldn't be disfellowshipped. So she's, yeah.
So these three men decided that you no longer
I never met them before.
are that you had never met before. They don't know you from anybody.
No.
And they are going to decide how your family is going to treat you for the rest of your life. I'm sorry.
Big time.
Yeah, isn't that great?
That's disgusting.
It's a little gnarly. And like going a little further, you know, into the religion, like I said, I don't know. I think it's changed now. I've been hearing rumors that, oh, your mom's allowed to talk to you now. This was back 20 years ago. I was going through the hardest, most brutal thing in my life. I wanted away from that marriage. I didn't want to leave the religion. I wanted away from this man and his family. And then they kick you out and they're not supposed to associate with you anymore. So everything that I learned.
I just did everything you wanted me to do, told you every dirty detail. Yeah. For what?
For what? To be kicked out. So you go to the Kingdom Hall after you're disfellowshipped and people literally like stop talking and they stare at you. Again, circus freak. They're not allowed to communicate with you. They're not allowed to hug you, console you, tell you things are okay. You're going to be okay. Nothing. You sit by yourself. And you got to get up and go. You got to come by yourself. You got to get up and go. My family wouldn't eat dinner with me because I was dirty. They gave me a tray.
Where's the forgiveness that God preaches of?
Not when you're disfellowshipped.
Because you're not worthy of forgiveness?
I guess not. I don't know. Yeah, that was a deep one.
He's worthy to stay, even though he... Mm-hmm. Whether you look at it as he failed as a husband or not, like why couldn't he clean the house? Why couldn't he get himself off those video games and put some effort into this marriage?
Right.
But he gets to stay, but you, nobody talks to anymore.
There has been situations, like I said, I do have a friend, female. She was married for years. She was what they call a pioneer, which means she does 90 service hours, knocking on doors a month. That was like her full-time job.
Wait, 90 a month?
90 hours a month. Yep. He had an affair on her, and she got disfellowship because he just didn't think that she was serving him. He had an affair on her and she got disfellowship. She got kicked out because she wasn't good enough as a wife and wasn't serving him and having sex with him enough, essentially. I'm sure it's different now. This is my experience.
God, yes. You see all this in the documentaries and all of this. And
the trauma.
Yeah.
I'm not going to change the religion. I'm sure I'm pissing everybody off. But the trauma. I stuck with a lot of witnesses that did get disfellowshipped. After I got kicked out, I moved to Reeseville.
Y'all need a support group.
We do. We do. And, you know, there's every therapist that I've seen trauma or whatever it happens to be, they see a lot of witnesses. They see a lot of ex-witnesses. A lot of suicides. A lot of addiction. A lot of overdoses. My experience from there, we moved in with each other back in way out in like Reeseville. Nobody knew really where we were. When I was living at home, I needed to get out of there. My mom and dad made it very clear you need to go. So
really?
One day my dad just kind of handed me a little wad of cash and he's like, I hear you need a security deposit and rent to get out of here. So I took the money and I got an apartment with the cousin. Because he was 15. Kicked out too. Unfortunately, his trauma was dealt with by drugs, and I didn't like them. I didn't do drugs yet. I just didn't think that that was where my life should go.
Mm-hmm.
It was too much. So I was drinking. My dad was dying again. He got re-diagnosed. It was in his liver. I was just not in a good place. The cousin. Again, sort of failed. He didn't know how to be a man. He didn't know how to be with me. And since I had no one, it was like whenever he would leave, I was so devastated. It was like a puppy that just like doesn't know what to do.
When the cousin would leave?
Mm-hmm. That separation anxiety was so brutal. The anxiety and the depression and just feeling so alone.
Well, you've been tossed aside by literally everyone, including your own mother, your own father. Mm-hmm. Like, no wonder.
Yep.
And just the trauma of everything you went through to only be told by your family, see ya, your religion, see ya, Your friends.
Yep.
See ya.
Everybody I knew. Everybody. Yeah. Because you're not supposed to have friends outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that religion. They call it the truth. You're not supposed to have worldly friends outside of the truth.
Worldly friends are...
You. No.
I am real worldly. Are people that aren't a witness, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. I mean, and to me, worldly means educated.
I know.
Worldly
I know. In the
How
real
interesting.
World.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, should we cut it there? And mm-hmm. then, because this, I feel like, kind of leads into the addiction.
Oh, for sure.
And...
Yeah.
Like, we'll get into my addiction stuff, but I'm really glad that we hit on this. Like, I think we needed to explain to people
mm-hmm.
how, I mean, that disfellowship meant disfellowship.
Disfellowshipping?
Shipping.
Shipping.
How traumatizing it can be and how it can lead into all of the rest of this. I mean, not only did you have the sexual assault by your brother-in-law at a young age.
Which was okay and was glazed over because he said my family was aware of how promiscuous I was. I wore low-cut tops. Fuck, I didn't mean to do that. Just seeing the Ghiblis. Low-cut tops, and I wore shorts back then when I was 15, 16. And he said, your family knows that you're promiscuous and you tempted me. He was at this point, you know, married to my sister, they're divorced, whatever.
Wait, hold on.
Mm.
So he went to the church and told them all of this, or you told them this, or how did...
He told me that he talked to my family,
right.
my sister and my mom and dad, and that was as far as it went.
Yeah.
And said, I was tempted by your daughter, and I acted on that. And they agreed that I am promiscuous, and they believed that... Yeah, she can be like that. We understand that you committed fourth-degree sexual assault upon our 15-year-old daughter, and we're not going to talk about it. We forgive you. We're not going to talk about this again. It was the story he told me.
Being a parent.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
My parents didn't know.
Oh, they really didn't know. He just told you this.
No.
Okay.
I found out that, oh my gosh, there's so much happening in my life.
You're a hot mess.
Okay, I'm a hot fucking mess. So my sister came to visit me when I think I was already having an affair. She came to visit me at my house and my ex-husband's house, and I made some sort of joke about her husband touching me or molester, Chester the molester, and was sort of like, she was like, oh.
And this was how many years later?
I was 20s, and it happened when I was, like, 15.
Okay.
So, substantial amount of years, whatever. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry, wait, what? And I told her what happened. And she didn't know. My parents didn't know. She went home, told my mom and dad. She collapsed on the floor, and oh, my God, this is the worst thing. And my dad was upset. He's ruining our family. They went and talked to the guy. And he goes, I don't remember that. And I remember a phone call after that. And she said, he doesn't remember, and I believe him. That was it.
Never got spoken about again.
Hmm.
He doesn't remember.
He doesn't remember.
And your parents accepted that.
Mm-hmm. Because Emily's promiscuous. Emily's a mess. So then, you know, when I cheated and whatever, I was just like, meh. All right.
Since I am.
Guess I'm this.
Yeah. I'll show y'all. Mm-hmm. I'll show y'all.
I did. I sure did.
I mean, literally.
Yeah.
This is why you live under my underteeth. You have.
Why do you think I don't like people?
No, you're small enough to be there, first of all.
I'm so comfortable even though it's very hot.
You have been so destroyed.
Wow, right?
By the people that are supposed to care for you most.
Mm-hmm.
This is what makes you a good mother.
Unbelievable.
And my very best friend in the entire world.
Thank you.
I mean,
and
this,
you're welcome.
This doesn't, isn't why, I mean, going through all of that isn't why you're my very best friend, but you being the person you are now, after all of that, that's why the one time I met your mother, the one time she, because she still speaks to your sister, even though your
they
sister
live
divorced
next door
him.
To each other.
Your sister divorced that her first husband.
Yes, she did. She did.
Lives under the same roof. They're in a duplex, but under the same roof.
My dad bought them a duplex, yeah. My mom and my sister, before he died.
Yeah.
I think that's very telling.
Very telling.
You got to be taken
And
care.
She is not a witness anymore.
No.
But your mom still talks to her.
A little, yeah. My sister did not get disfellowship. She left.
That
she,
makes the
she
difference.
She just left. It, unfortunately, to them, it does. To and them, 20 years ago, it does.
Explain, because I know you had told me, too. I'll get back on that. But you had told me, too, your mom has to keep up with all of this because she believes she's going to see your dad, who had passed now.
Right. That leads, again, into addiction and yeah. the decision. I don't know that people make a decision to be, and I apologize for this term, a junkie or become addicted. I did. When my dad died, I went, that's.
And so she thinks that if she follows the word of Jehovah to a T.
They believe in Armageddon, getting rid of all the bad things, and a resurrection of our dead loved ones, including my father.
So she's going to see him again one day because she cut you out of her life.
She said, I will not jeopardize seeing your father again to have a relationship with you. Mm-hmm. You chose this, Emily. Mm-hmm. You chose to leave. I didn't.
So
it's my fault.
Yeah, right. Again. Mm. So then when your mom brought in her granddaughter, your niece, to the hair salon, I loved saying, oh my gosh, I'm Emily's best friend. It's so nice to meet you. Mm. Not really.
Right.
But I made sure to let her know just how the amazing woman that you are and how amazing your kids are. Oh, and God. At that time, your youngest Shyla, my fairy goddaughter, absolutely. Was a baby. And I'm like, yep. She's the most amazing baby. She's funny. She takes after Emily. You probably wouldn't know that, but Emily's really funny too. And
fucking
like
hilarious.
And Jonah is so smart and he's the same age as my son and they're so great. And I mean, like, you need to know you are missing out.
What was her
you
comment?
Created this woman.
Yeah.
Oh, she just, like, when I was going on and on about the grandkids that she had never met, she said, well, I wouldn't know.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's too bad for you.
It sucks for you.
Yeah.
You're missing out.
Yeah.
You're actually missing out on a lot of things.
So, but yeah, I kept it profesh, but still had to give her a little zinger.
Patty. Yeah, sometimes you got to zing Patty.
I don't really know. Okay. Anywho, so let's roll this up here.
Yes. Wrap it up.
Wrap it up, not roll it. That, okay. There I go again.
Yep. Falling apart. Okay.
My batteries fall out.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah. On the next episode of Pissy But Pretty.
Pissy But Pretty.
We'll get into the addiction.
Yep.
And
when I started, why I started, what happened, and the journey of drug and alcohol abuse.
Yeah. And we'll talk about all the different types of addictions that both of us have experienced throughout our.
We had to try all of them.
We are overachievers.
Thank you. And you're welcome.
Good night.
Tonight. Thanks for letting us tickle your ear hole and not turning us off after the first 30 seconds. Don't forget to subscribe and join our email list to get in on the action.